And this morning we have a work session on Senate Bill 5522, the PUC budget. Sue McGlashan, if you would give us some comments, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members, what I've distributed for you is a memo. It kind of, I guess, refreshes your memory about what you did the last time you met, which was on May 7th. And what you did was adopt the eligible recommendations on the budget. And I've recreated those for you in that box on the first page and carried over to the second page. And additionally, Senator Yee had requested that the budget note relating to the Residential Services Protection Fund be amended to include additional direction to the commission, and the subcommittee also approved that additional language, and I've put that in the memo for you also, and that's on the second page at the bottom. So assuming that the subcommittee has otherwise completed its work on the budget, final step would be to approve a motion to move the bill to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. One thing I did want to point out to you, however, was that on Thursday you've got two bills scheduled, Senate Bill 297 and House Bill 2576 for public hearing and possible work session, and both of those have a fiscal impact on this budget. Senate Bill 297 is included in the governor's budget, and provisions have been made for that fiscal impact. The expenditure limitation, however, has been unscheduled pending passage of the bill and signing into law by the governor. House Bill 2576, however, is not included in the governor's budget, and that has about a $200,000 other funds fiscal impact and a couple of positions.
Can you share with the committee what the two bills mean?
Certainly, Senator. Senate Bill 297 would increase the eligibility for one of the programs in the Residential Services Protection Fund. And Rick, could you help me out here? I'm having a memory lane a little bit.
It's been a while. The chair, members of the committee, my name is Director of PUC. With me is Vicki McClain. She's our Administrator for Central Services, and I'll let her explain the bill.
Senate Bill 297 makes uniform the eligibility criteria between the programs at Adult and Family Services and the programs at RSPS. Right now, the RSPS programs state that eligibility is determined by an income level, which is 135% of federal poverty level. There are several very, very small programs at AFS that are moving those levels slightly above 135% of the poverty level. And as a result, these folks who have been on the program in the past are now being bumped off the program because of the fact that their program has a different definition of eligibility, which is slightly higher. That does bring a few thousand extra people in potentially. Adult Family Services and Department of Human Resources was not clear exactly what that number might be, even for their programs, which made it difficult to determine the level of ours. But it would come to a maximum, we believe, of 210,000 over the biennium. The alternative is to take off some folks who have been on that program in the past and are below 135% of the poverty level.
Okay. Are there any questions by committee members on the bill referred to?
Did we pass on the bill 297?
We're going to have a hearing on it. Scheduled for Thursday this week.
Oh, because in the status book it showed that it's being referred to Ways and Means and hasn't been approved yet.
In this committee, and it'll be scheduled for Thursday this week.
Oh, I see. And another question,
yeah.
Mr. Chairman. So if it's approved, it means we're going to increase the eligibility to a higher level, so that means we will admit less people. Oh, we'll admit more people.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, that's correct. However, it is not the entire program that is being raised. The vast majority of these programs remain at 135% of the poverty level. There are a few small programs for pregnant women and pregnant women and dependent children whose eligibility criteria for their programs would be going up.
And that means how many more people we're going to admit?
We believe about 2,000, but again, the number from Adult and Family Services and Department of Human Resources was very vague, and as a result, ours was somewhat vague. We only get a small portion of the individuals who are eligible over there actually onto our telephone program.
Yes.
So it makes a fiscal impact of $210,000.
That would be the maximum, we believe, yes, Senator Yee and Mr. Chair.
Now, that only is scheduled if 297 passes. If 297 doesn't pass, then it remains unscheduled. In other words, they couldn't spend it.
Well, so fiscal's recommendation is to allow 210,000 in case the bill passed, still be unscheduled until it passed.
Correct. Correct. Okay, further questions? Thank you. Representative Butler?
Mr. Chair, just two other items, and that is House Bill 3615, and I'm sorry, I thought that Representative Hill was working with the co-chairs, and they're in a meeting this morning. But it's my understanding that there is some additional buy-in in the executive office to House Bill 3615. And that could be added as a supplement, to my understanding, if in fact it does come back for an additional hearing, which we have had one hearing here on 3615. But it is my understanding, in visiting and meeting with Representative Hill, that the governor has approved the concept of 3615. Which would move us to a five-member commission and there was some amendment that he was working on at the request of the governor. I think originally it was to move the whole process over to the Consumer and Business Services, but There were other small modifications that were being made. I don't know that. I think that was part of the difficulty the governor was having with it, was where it would be administered, where the PUC would be administered in that process.
Okay. Well, these are chair's intention today to try to take action on the budget. As far as 3615. There's nothing to prevent 3615 from coming up if that's the direction that the co-chairs want to take, and we can use that as a vehicle to amend the budget to accommodate the passage of 3615.
And Mr. Chair, the second item that I had when I thought I'd made a matter of record was my concern relative to the time that it takes to have the extended area service issues covered, and it asked that we have some kind of a budget note that the Public Utility Commission be more proactive and work towards regulations within the commission to accommodate proactivity in extending telephone service to small areas and areas that are not being served or would like to be served with extended area service. Presently, minimum time in a large area, it's my understanding, is 18 months, with usually 2 years being the time that you would have in a fairly large area to add additional telephone service through an extended area service program. And anecdotally, we talked about some of the long times that it was taking, and I have met with Mr. Willis and Mr. Nygaard, who is our state telephone communication specialist for the state, State PUC, and have expressed to them my concern about the fact that there are several that are still outstanding that are multi-year EAS requests that seem to get bogged down in the morass of the rather antiquated rulemaking process which we have at present. And I have shared with Mr. Nygaard and Mr. Ball a copy of the Idaho statutes that provide that they have a much faster program which is more equitable and appears to be much more efficiently administered than Oregon presently administers its programs. And I'm very concerned that that should be a high priority item for the Public Utilities Commission to strive. In today's world, we are moving so fast with telecommunications and the information system of today that if we do not accommodate the extended area service and other telephone needs of small communities, they'll just be left out of the blend in this whole process, and we will leave a goodly portion of rural Oregon in the dust. And I'm very concerned about that.
Do you have some language that you'd like to propose for a budget note?
I did not bring any. I thought that it was on the record, and I guess that the discussions that I've had were privately with Mr. Willis and privately with Mr. Ball and with
Mr. Willis, do you understand what the representative just stated?
Mr. Chair, I do, and certainly we can take a look at our processes. And if you'd like to put that in a budget footnote, of course, we'll follow up on that and look at our processes and look for ways to be more efficient, certainly.
Could we incorporate that with the budget note here? It says the PUC shall report to the E-Board by April 2000 on the status of current court cases involving utilities, and add, in fact, telephones as well, extended area service.
Well, when there are no court cases that I'm aware of, it would just be similar wording that they would report the emergency board by April of 2000 the status of the rulemaking process, streamlining the rulemaking process to be proactive to extended area service requests within the state of Oregon, within and without the state of Oregon, because many of these are border issues, and then they talk about, well, this is a federal issue because it involves interlata. And Idaho said to me, basically, when I talked to the person in Idaho, when I got it on the telephone, she said, I suppose that they have told you that it is our fault that this is being dragged on. And I said, well, kind of, that's what the issue is. And she said, that's baloney. We have a much more streamlined program than Oregon has. Yours is antiquated and has not been reviewed. I confirmed then with Mr. Ball how long it had been since we had actually reviewed the rulemaking process for extended area service, and it was, I think it was just shortly after Edison had invented the light bulb that they last reviewed this process. And so it's very antiquated, and it tends to slow the whole process down. And I'd really like to see that extended area service issue, and I'm sorry that I did not get together with Ms. McGlashan before this to include that.
Sue, do you have a comment you want to make on the budget? No, you understood this, Russ. Without objection, what we will do is allow LFO to develop the language in the budget note. Is there objection to adopting the budget note? No, it's been so approved.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it.
Okay, Ms. Larson, is there anything else for us to...
Oh,
Senator Yee.
While we are on the subject of budget note, I would like to know what is the committee's pleasure in combining our two notes into one. So when they report back in April and September about their achievement in cost containment, instead of reporting in September, just report in November about what they have achieved and what they propose to the next session regarding any statutory change to further cost containment.
So that's to replace the other one?
So combine the two. So
we would be moving the top two budget notes here along with the budget note proposed in March by Senator Yee.
But if we combine the two, then they only have to report in April and November.
Right.
Rather than April, September,
April
and November.
April and September, right.
So I would like to propose we combine the two budget notes into one.
Is there any discussion? Not, is there any objection? Not, the three budget notes are adopted as amended.
Sure.
Yes, Representative Carter.
I'd move that we send this budget to the OAS meeting for the Duke Bank Corporation.
Just before you do that, we have to adopt the LFO numbers, I believe.
Sure, we did do that. If I could just complete one more item before we move
on. Okay.
And that was, I had mentioned House Bill 2576 earlier, and that's the slamming bill, and basically what that does is prohibit telephone companies from switching customers without their knowledge. And you'll hear about that on Thursday. It does have a fiscal impact to the department of a couple $100,000, about $228,000 actually, and to the FTE. And it's not in the budget. You could do a couple of things. You could put it in the budget and then schedule it pending passage and signing by the governor. You could not do anything with it as far as the budget is concerned, and the commission can come back to the emergency board. Or since you're hearing these two budgets on Thursday, you could hold this budget until Thursday and do everything all together. So
it's the committee's choice on what you want to do.
Is that a bill that sounds like it's likely to pass, eh?
It has pretty much received the green light to pass.
Not controversial.
No, because there isn't one of us that haven't had some constituents that complained about being switched on telephone service.
We should do something
to put it in. If we could go ahead and move into that, I think if we could accommodate that, and also your 3615, that'll give us time to coordinate that with the co-chair.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Representative Carter now moves Senate Bill 5522 as amended to the Full Ways and Means Committee with a DUPAS recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. Representative Carter, would you like to carry it in the House?
Sure.
Okay. Senator Lim, would you like to carry it in the Senate?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Senator.
Could I
serve?
We did want to increase the budget, but on schedule,
yes.
Correct.
Yes. All right. If there's no other discussion, we are adjourned until 8 a.m. tomorrow. We have an ODOT bill, Senate Bill 498, and Senate Bill 5515, the OSPEC or something. But anyway, we have a couple bills on tomorrow morning. So those that can arrive by 8, we'll get our business done and get out of here. So we're adjourned until 8.
Good news.